Well, do you recall that in chapter 17 we met a prophet of God, Elijah? Kind of an interesting cat, wasn't he? He said, "It's not going to rain until I speak the word." And he took off. God said, "Clear out, run away, hide." You're going to find out in a moment why. But powerful man, and he comes out of nowhere. But as you read through chapter 17, I hope that you caught on that Elijah himself was being worked on. Did you notice that? Did you notice that Elijah himself, when he had to go to the brook, he had to do what God told him to do, even though it looked like this isn't going to work well. And now he started noticing the brook, the water was going down. We've got no rain now. It's been a long time. The water is starting to go lower. And there Elijah is thinking, if I don't clear out of here, I won't have anything to drink. But he couldn't go until God said go. And he didn't know where to go until God said go. Now, there we are, me and you, all of us. We look around us and we say, I've got to do something. Lord, I have to do something. But the truth is, I shouldn't do anything until he tells me, number one, what to do. And number two, where to do that. Now, you can give me a little bit of sense, not much. And sometimes I can say, Lord, the water level is lowering. And if you don't hurry, I'm going to have to do something here. Elijah, the man of God, was learning, just like you and I, men and women of God, are learning every day. You see him as just a guy who, miracle, let's do a miracle. Oh, what should I do now? Oh, fire? Okay. And that's not the way he was. He didn't do anything without God himself telling him what to do. So, remember the widow and her son, and you remember all of chapter 17, I'm sure. A miracle. Well, a bunch of miracles took place. God miraculously cared for Elijah and the widow and her son. And it's been quite a while now. As a matter of fact, the verse 1 of chapter 18 tells you it's been about 3 years, a little over 3 years now. It came to pass, after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year of this drought. Go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. Now, when Elijah was there in front of Ahab, he said, it's not going to rain until I speak the word. And Bible teachers and prophets galore have misunderstood that. And they have mistaken it to mean that the power was Elijah. When I speak, that's when it's going to rain. No, it's when God tells me to speak, that's when it's going to rain. Do you see the difference? And here he says, the Lord says, okay, it's been about almost 3.5 years. Now go, and I'll make it rain. See, Elijah could have walked in 2 years ago and said, all right, I'm a little thirsty myself, rain. It wouldn't. The power isn't in the man of God. The power is always God. Do you understand that? Have you forgotten where the power really is? And how it works? And so God says, after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year. So it's been 3 years now. Go and show yourself to Ahab, and I'll send rain on the earth. Notice, Elijah does nothing without God. So, you too, me too, wait on the Lord. Now, you know how to do things according to the world's ways, don't you? You do. You know how to get by. You know how to tackle these problems. You know how to deal with life. And then you come to life. You're born again. You actually have life in you. And you start seeing things from a whole different perspective. And something doesn't go your way. And you say, well, no, that's not my way. And so, I know how to do this. I know exactly what to do. There's your mistake. There's where you're going to go wrong, usually. Don't do that. Don't do what comes around you. Don't go and tackle this the way you know how. Wait. It's been a long time. 3.5 years without rain, that's a long time. Many people have suffered and died because of the sin of the king and his wife, the idolatry brought into the nation, the northern tribes. Sometimes you know how to fix it, but you don't fix it, or you don't do it until God himself says, go ahead. 3.5 years now, Elijah is waiting. He does nothing without God. He's waiting on the word of the Lord. That's what you and I are told to do. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On you do I wait all day. I'm just listening to you today. And I won't do nothing till I hear from you. I won't make this decision. I won't step that direction. I won't even do a thing until you show me what thing that is to do. Psalm 27, verse 14. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Hold the bus. Wait. Isaiah 40, 31, probably the most well-known of the wait verses. Isaiah 40, 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or give up or stop. They that wait upon the Lord. Over and over through Scripture, I could have given you many more. You probably have some of the others memorized as well. Wait. Don't do it your way. Don't do it. Don't do what comes naturally. It wasn't until the word of the Lord came to Elijah after many days. How long is it going to be, Lord? When should I do it? Want me to do it now? No. How about today? No. I'll tell you when. 3.5 years now. He says, you go show yourself to Ahab and I will send rain on the earth. It is when God says so that it will be. When will it rain? When Elijah decides it's been enough time? No, he's simply the instrument God is using. Moses was the instrument God used. God works through men and through women. He didn't need Elijah to show up and say, okay, it's going to rain now. God could just have it rain and everybody would know what it was doing. It's raining. It hasn't rained in 3.5 years. He didn't need Elijah to come along and say, no, it's going to rain. Watch. But see, he chooses to use people, weak vessels, jars of clay, people just like you and I, the base things of the world, the lower things, the foolish things of the world. He uses us. He uses Elijah, just a simple man, willing to obey him. So he says, all right, Elijah, now you need to go show yourself to Ahab. Go out into Ahab's presence. You've been hiding from him for 3 years, a little over 3 years. He's been hiding now. And so Elijah went to show himself. He obeyed. Now, you could kind of figure, you yourself can almost imagine, it's been about 3.5 years. There's been no rain. People have been dying everywhere in the land, suffering, disease. You can imagine the heartache and the turmoil. And who does everybody think, whose fault is it? Well, what was the last thing that Elijah said to the king and the queen? He walked in, didn't even introduce himself, said, I'm a servant of the Lord, and I'm telling you right now, it's not going to rain anymore until I say so. And then he walked out. Whose fault is this? His, as far as the king's concerned, right? So how would you feel about going back now? Death, destruction, suffering for the last 3.5 years, and everybody thinks it's your fault. And so God says to you, I want you to go back. Lord, I can't go back. They'll yell at me. Somebody will be mad. Sometimes God tells you to do interesting things. Elijah, go show yourself to Ahab. I'll send rain on the earth. And Elijah, he went. Now, in the last 3.5 years, he's been in training. He hasn't just been man of God sitting there with his feet up. He has been learning. And I think you need to get the picture correct. He has been growing. He's learning about his Lord and his God. And he is learning how to serve. And now it's time. I want you to go back. So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. And there was a sore famine in Samaria. You can imagine. After 3.5 years of no rain. And Ahab, remember the king, he called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah was a man of God. He feared the Lord greatly. He was on the king's staff, but he was a man of God. He feared the Lord. For it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, she murdered the prophets, probably in response to what Elijah did. Elijah said, it's not going to rain anymore. And then, remember, Elijah left and God said, go hide. That was the reason he had to go hide. The queen, who basically, she was running the country, not Ahab. Everybody sees it and knows it. You don't like to talk about it, but it's true. That woman was running the place, so she murdered a bunch of the prophets of God, a bunch of the men of God. And so Obadiah took 100 of them, and he hid them in 2 caves, 50 in each cave. And he fed them on bread and water. And now they've been hidden for years. They've been hidden a long time. Because the queen was mad. Because there was no rain. And Ahab, he saw Obadiah. Oh, well, wait. Yeah, that's right. Ahab said to Obadiah, verse 5, go to the land unto all the fountains of water and unto all the brooks, peradventure, or maybe we can find grass to save the horses and the mules alive that we don't lose the beasts. They're so low on water and stuff, he says, go find anywhere where there might be still a little stream or a little brook someplace where a little bit of water may be trickling so that there may be some grass or something near it that the animals can eat, because we're going to lose what animals we've got left. Even the animals were dying off. So they divided the land between them throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, the king, and Obadiah, he went the other way by himself. So he got the king out there looking to see if they can find anything for the animals to eat, and you got Obadiah going the other way looking for that, and as Obadiah was on his way, Elijah met him. That means he ran into him. And he knew him and fell on his face and he said, are you that my Lord Elijah? Is it really you? I haven't seen you for years. Is it you? And he answered him and said, I am. Go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah is here. Three pretty powerful words, I would say. Because everybody's been looking for him. They've been looking for him. They killed other prophets. They have not been able to find this guy. You know, I think that according to the Bible, it looks like Elijah may be coming back again for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he may even use those same words. You go tell the Antichrist, Elijah is here. Cool, huh? And he said, Obadiah says, what have I sinned that you would deliver your servant to the hand of Ahab to kill me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom where my Lord has not sent to seek you. And when they said he's not here, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found you not. He says, my Lord, the king, has been looking all the nations around here. He has sent people out to get you, to find you, to bring you back here. And when the nation said Elijah's not living here, he made them swear by an oath. That's how seriously he's been looking for you. And now you say, go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah's here. It shall come to pass as soon as I leave from you, the Spirit of the Lord will carry you away wherever, I don't know. And so when I come to tell a king and he can't find you, he's going to kill me. Well, I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. He says, no way. I'm not going to go tell the king you're here. As soon as I leave, you're going to disappear. The Spirit of God will take you somewhere. I won't know where. The king will think I'm pulling his leg. He'll put me to death. He's been looking all over for you, man. Was it not told, my Lord, when I did with or I'm sorry, what I did with when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave. He says, didn't you know that I went against the king's commands? My own life was in jeopardy, and I hid 100 of the servants of the Lord, 50 in a couple of caves, and I fed them with bread. Didn't you know that? I love the Lord. I'm on your side. Elijah, don't do this to me. That's what he's saying. And now, you say, go and tell your Lord. Behold, Elijah's here. He'll kill me if I say that, because I know you'll disappear. Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives, verse 15, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today. You've got my word, Obadiah. I won't disappear. The Lord has sent me here. I will show myself to the king today, so you don't have to panic. And Elijah said that. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab, verse 16, and he told him. And Ahab went out to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, art thou he that troubles Israel? He says, oh, it's you, the one that's troubling Israel. Or the question would be, is it really you? Finally, I've been looking everywhere. Is it you, the one that's really troubling Israel? He blames Elijah for the lack of rain for the last few years. How often do you blame others for what's going on around you? How often do you do that? Well, you have cheated me. You have hurt me severely. I trusted you with my money and you ripped it off. And that's why I'm going to have to cut your hair off or whatever. How quickly? He says, it's you, huh? Is it you? And notice the answer. And he answered in verse 18, I have not troubled Israel, you have, and your father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandment of the Lord and you have followed Balaam. You are the one that is troubling Israel. If you want to know why all this has taken place, it's not the man of God's fault. It's the one who is pretending or playing a game. It's the hypocrite. It's the one who is acting one way and has brought in all this false religion. Today, you take a look at the church and you'll see a lot of people are turned off by the church today. And they'll say, well, the church is this, or the church, or Christians are this, or Christians are this. No, no, no. It's not the true Christian who's wanting to serve. It's the sin of the country itself. And he says, no. He says, I have not troubled Israel, but you. Now, I want you to notice something. Elijah, right there, was not hard to understand at all, was he? Don't you agree? It's not me, King. I am not the one. You have troubled Israel. How? In that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and you have followed a false god, Balaam. Now, notice how straightforward and how clear Elijah makes God's word. Doesn't he? And now you see why we are in such trouble today. Because people are sort of afraid to just say it like it is. They're afraid to just call a spade. They usually say it's a digging implement instead. But it's a spade. A spade is a spade. This is what it is. This is a sin, God says, and so we call it a sin. And every once in a while, you'll hear somebody speak the word out, and someone will pat them on the back and go, boy, you just really say it like it is. Who doesn't? I mean, shouldn't it be that way? Should we really be tiptoeing through the tulips like we are? He didn't beat around the bush. He got right to the point. I'm not the problem. You are. You are worshiping false gods. You've done it to the whole country. That's pretty easy to understand. You are completely to blame. God's word is easy. That's clear. That's hard to avoid, isn't it? And where do we live? We live in a time when people are really just not wanting to hear the word of God anymore. They don't want to hear that. See, if God says that stealing is a sin, then all stealing is a sin. It doesn't matter why we do it. And so when someone says, hey, you're stealing, that's a sin, you are offended and you move away or you walk away, and you see all of a sudden people say, I don't want to hear that. That's why people go from church to church, because they don't want to hear it. We're told in the last days, people will have itching ears, and so they will heap to themselves teachers saying what they want to hear. That's what people do. They heap to themselves teachers saying what they want to hear. If they don't like what they're hearing, they'll go find another spot so they can like what they hear. Except there will be some who will be wanting the Word of God and the Word of God only. Those are what God calls His children. They want the Word of God only. No speculation, no secrets, no out on the edge. They want the Word of God. Right, straight forward, the Word of God. I like it. Elijah was easy to understand. I'm not the problem. You are. Because you have brought false gods and the worship of it. You're the problem. God's Word, easy to understand. The Word of God, I believe, is needed today. Has always been needed. But more than ever, the Word of God is needed today. People say, well, we like the church in North Country, but you know, there's just too much Bible. Now, to me, I cannot even comprehend somebody saying that. But it's been said, okay, we got to go to a place where there's not so much Bible. Well, that's going to be easy to find. Isn't it? Sure it is. I've been places to where, well, a friend of mine, a pastor, he came up and said, we were having, hot tea or something, and he was talking about the church service. He said, man, it was great. The Holy Spirit moved. It was neat. I said, really? What went on? He said, oh my goodness, the Spirit was moving and people were just praising and some were falling down. And you know, the pastor never got to share anything from the Word. And he said, you know something? This is the third week that took place. Man, the Spirit of God is moving. I said, 3 weeks and you haven't heard anything God said? See, to me, I think, whoa, what the church needs is the Word of God. Today, more than ever, that's what we need. When Elijah spoke it out, there was no misunderstanding what he was communicating. The Word of God was clear and it made perfect sense, and you either liked it or you didn't like it. There was it. You either listened to it or you didn't accept it. People are afraid today to speak the Word of God out. And I do get quite a bit of email type. And people will say, I have a friend who is this, and I've been discussing it with them over email. Can you help me talk to them? But let me warn you, we can't use any scripture. You've emailed the wrong guy. What else would I use? I got a good joke you could tell them. I don't know what that's going to accomplish, but what do you mean you can't use scripture? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1. It is the power of God. God's word, we're told later on in the New Testament, sharp as a two-edged sword. Sharp. Today, the word of God is needed. It's not necessarily what people want to hear, but it's needed more than ever. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Be doers. James says, doers of what you hear. Not just hearers, readers only, but doing the thing. The Word of God. And it needs to be clear, and it needs to be simple. Not big words, not amazing vocabulary, but simple words so that all of us can grasp it and understand it. Psalm 119, verse 9, says this, how shall a young man cleanse his ways? Or a young woman, a young person. How are you yourself ever going to get going in the right direction? Get your ways. Some of you say, I need to change my ways. I need to straighten out my attitude or my actions. How shall a young person do that? A young man change his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. This is to God. How shall a young man, Lord, how shall a young man change his ways? By taking heed to the Word of God. By hearing it, understanding it, and taking heed to it. Now you see why so many ministries don't want to deal with it. Because that doesn't sell books or magazines. Articles and chapters on amazing things and things that are out there and untouchable. Those sell magazines. Those sell books. Those sell tapes. And that's what people seem to want to do anymore. They don't want to just the Word itself. Sticking right with the Word. And another thing about the Word of God is it never goes out of date. You never have to update it. You don't have to correct what you said as long as you said from it. I mean, the president's name may be different that you quoted from, but the Word of God hasn't changed. Psalm 119:11, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have memorized your word. I'm learning your word and memorizing it so that I won't sin against you. Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In your word, I can see which way to step. As a light is right there, I can look, and if there's a hole, I'll say, oh, better be careful there. God's word shows me how to walk, where to walk to. It's carefully directing me and guiding me. It is what is needed today on the radio, on the television, in tapes, all over. What is needed is the Word of God. That's the needful thing. And Elijah spoke it out so clearly that there was no way to misunderstand what he said. Paul, later on, is going to say, when he's writing some letters, he writes a few in the New Testament, you know, and he's going to say this, we don't use words that are hard to be understood. We use very basic, simple words. I'm complimented all the time on my lack of intelligence. People come up and go, you're really not too smart. I could understand you. And I say, that's what you call a left-handed compliment, isn't it? You say, thank you. But the truth is, you want it to be so simple that everybody can grasp it. And so sometimes you see little children in church. And even they sometimes understand. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The message is and should be clear. And it is, isn't it? I have not troubled Israel. You have. And your father's house, your whole household. In that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and you have followed Balaam. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, or Carmel. Gather all the country. I love it. He's starting to order the king now. All right, king, this is what I want you to do. Pay attention. Write it down if you have to. And Ahab's letting him. How come? Because this is the power of God. That's how come. And it's not how big or how tough Elijah is. It is. See, it was Martin Luther who said, one person with God is a majority. And in the New Testament, you're going to read, if God be for us, who could be against us? If God is with you, nothing, nothing can stand in your way, nothing. But you see, that's what His Word says. Now you got to take heed to it, you got to begin to believe it. Now that doesn't mean you could step in front of a train and stop it with your face. I'm not, you know, you've got to understand what the word means. But if God is with you, then who could be against you? The answer is a rhetorical question. Nobody can be against you. Nothing is going to stand in your way. Usually, I've seen God in my life, He'll just close the door. And if I think God's closed the door, I think, great. He still wants me to go forward. Obviously, go in another direction. That door's closed. But nothing's going to stand in your way. Nothing's going to stop you. The devil is not going to stop you from doing the will of God. And so, look at this. He says, you gather to me all Israel into Mount Carmel and bring the prophets of Baal, all 450 of them. And the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. I'd like to see them all here. We're going to have a great competition. We're going to have a contest. So Ahab, he did it. He sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. He brought them all there. They're going to have a contest. Now, I already know because I read the rest of the chapter that Elijah is doing this under orders from God. This isn't something he thought of, all right, okay, Ahab, I'm going to show you. I got to prove God is tough. What can I do? I got an idea. No, this was God sent him to do this. So don't just run out now after church night, go over and say, all right, you, I'm going to tip that semi-truck over. Watch. No, wait. If God sent you to tip it, go for it. But until then, you wait on the Lord. Remember, you already learned that part. You wait on Him and use the Word of God and listen closely and pay attention. And He will do something. Now here, He says, get them all together because I want to talk to all of them. Elijah came to all the people. These are the children of God, the chosen, the Israelites. And he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? I love King James language. Some of you don't really appreciate it, but I like that. How long halt ye between two opinions? We can say that in English. How long are you going to limp back and forth between these two gods? How long are you going to limp between these two opinions? You're going to have to pick one of them and live with it. You are pretending to be a Christian, yet you're living the world's standards. You are pretending, on one, you limp over here and you say, I love the Lord. And over here, you're still not trusting Him. And you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing. You're saying things you shouldn't. You're limping between two opinions, he says. How long are you going to do that? Today's the day to stop it. And we're going to stop it right now, he says. We got to quit limping between two opinions. Are you born again? Are you a Christian? Then it's time to stop limping between the two. Yeah, I'm a Christian, but you know, the world's kind of getting me down. My marriage is a mess and this, and so I think I'm going to do drugs. You know, that'll help. I'm going to leave my family and I'm going to join the circus. Because there's no pressure in being in the circus. I've seen the movies. You can be a clown. Wait a minute. How long are you going to limp between two opinions? Look at what he says to them. I like this. The Word of God is so clear. He makes it so easy to understand. If the Lord be God, then follow Him. Period. If God is really God, and you know it, then get over there and listen to Him the rest of your life and stop this. That's easy to understand, isn't it? You can't misunderstand anything about that. That's why I like the Word of God. It's clear. That's not your interpretation or mine. That's easy to understand. Hey, if God is really God, then get over there and serve Him for the rest of your life. But if Baal is the one you think is God, then follow him. But make a choice right now and stick with it the rest of your life. Don't do this, Christian. Don't do this on, off, up, down, this roller coaster thing. That's not healthy. You'll hurt your back and neck and things on those roller coasters. That's not going to get you where you think you want to be. You need to get all the way in or all the way. You know, you can't put your left leg in, take your left leg out, put your leg. You can't do that. That's a whole other dance we're doing. And that's the way many people are living their Christian life. Are you really born again? Are we really? Then we get in. All the way, just jump in and get all wet. Or, if you want to serve a false god, go. But you're halting, you're limping between the two. That's hypocritical. Are you a Christian? Then you want to listen to what God says and do it by His power. Even when it doesn't feel good, even when maybe you thought you'd have done something else, even when it's not making sense, even when you're waiting on God and going, you know, the brook, Lord, the water's getting lower. I'm going to need some help here, Lord. And then you panic and you run out and you start believing all the prognosticators and you start taking it in your own hands. Dig yourself a hole and here you go. And I wouldn't dig a hole unless God Himself said dig a hole, because that's work. I'm going to throw away that kind of energy. I wonder sometimes, do we really believe Him? And that includes all of us, me and you. Do we believe Him? Do we really believe Him? Or are these stories that our parents let us hear when we were little and too stupid to know any better? Santa and Elijah. Those were when we were little. Those were easy. Because you're a kid, you don't know anybody. They tell you anything you want. My dad used to tell us how he cooked hamburgers for the Queen of Sheba when I was young. I believed it then. I'm starting to question it now. Because I've had his burgers and I think... But you know, I was little. Now wait a minute. Do you really believe what this says? Have you read your Bible lately? Do you know that this is really interesting book? Because he has said to me, I will never leave you. Now you think about that a moment. Never. What does that mean in the original Greek? Well, never until you're bad. That's some interpretation. Or never until you get in a bad mood. Or never. No. It means never ever. Jesus has said to me, and if you're a Christian, he has said to you, I will never leave you. Never. Although others may, I never will. What have you got to worry about? Don't worry about what you're going to eat, Bob, or what you're going to wear. Because your Father knows you need that stuff. Your Heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. He said, I know I made you. I know what you're made of. I know. And then they said, teach us to pray then. Our Father which art in heaven. This is a guideline. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, exactly as it is in heaven. Give us today our lunch, our food. Give us our daily bread. Not for next week, not for the next year. Doesn't God's word say that? Isn't that how, along the lines how he told me I ought to pray? Do I believe it? You think about that a moment. That's a challenge. How long are you going to limp between two opinions? If God is really who he says he is, if he's God, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, then serve him. But if he's not, then serve Baal. But don't keep trying to go both. Don't do world part. Don't be a Christian one minute and a non-Christian the next. No, all the way. You got to make a choice today is what he says. And the people answered him not a word. Don't you love that? He says, I want to know how long you are going to limp between these two opinions. If God is God, serve him. If Baal, then serve him. What do the people say? Nothing. What a shame, huh? What should the people have said? Oh, are we stupid? Oh, God forgive us. You're God and we know it. You have done so much in our lives. You've delivered our ancestors out of Egypt. It was you. You gave us this country. You gave it to us. We haven't handled it well, but you gave it to us. We are yours. How could we have been so foolish? Forgive us. We worship you. We're yours. No noise. They go, well, gee. And Elijah said to the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. I'm alone. And you'll notice, even though we know he's not alone, he has no idea that there are others. There are 7,000 others. In all the land, there are only 7,001. But he doesn't know that. He thinks he's alone. And by the way, he is alone. He's standing there right now all by himself. Nobody has heard, hey, Elijah's back, let's go stand with him. He's all by himself. Many are hiding still. And he says, I'm all alone. Only, I remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets, there are 450 of them. So it's just me by myself and Baal's prophets. Let them therefore give us two bulls. And let them choose one bullock for themselves, a young bullock, and cut it in pieces, lay it on wood, put no fire under it. I will dress the other one, lay it on wood, and put no fire. And you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answers by fire, let him be the real God. Here is a competition now between God himself and Satan. Could Satan produce fire if he wanted to? Yeah, I think so. And all the people answered and said, well spoken. Yeah, let's try it. I mean, we're always into a show, aren't we? People. It says, get two bulls. You get one ready for sacrifice, put it on the altar, put wood under it, but don't light it. Don't light the fire. And then I'll do the same thing. I won't light it. And the God who lights the fire, that's the real God. So it's a competition now between God and Satan. And you call on the name of your gods, and I'll call on the name of the Lord. And let's just see. They said, okay, let's do it. So it's Elijah all by himself, 450 prophets of Baal. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, you choose the bullock for yourselves, and you go first. I'll give you a first shot at it. Since there are 450 of you and only one of me, you go for it, guys. For you are many. Call on the name of your gods, but don't put any fire under that sacrifice. And they took the bullock, which was given them. They dressed it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. So it looks like they started somewhere around 8 to 9 o'clock in the morning, and for about 3 hours they yelled out, oh, Baal, light the fire. Light this thing. Shoot it up. Go. Ready. Now. Not only that, it says, oh, Baal, hear us. Listen to us. There was no voice. There was no answer. They leaped on the altar, which they made. They were jumping up and down on top of the altar. They were trying to get the attention of their God. You know, some people today, very emotional, still feel like they have to do that. And they're jumping around and spinning and slobbering and going for it. That's going to get, look over here. I mean, that would attract most of my attention. And when I've been to churches that sort of do that. And to tell you the honest truth, when you're supposed to be praising and worshiping, I'm going, good one. Whoa. Knock that lady right over. Sorry, dude. You know, I'm just kind of into what's going on because it's kind of fun if you ask me. It's not of the Lord. I don't believe at all. But you can't help but pay attention to it. Whoa, man. Who was that? And you've got these prophets of Baal. They're jumping up and down on top of the sacrifice, up and down the altar, making noise, yelling. Well, it came to pass around noon. You see, Elijah was kind of bored. It wasn't his turn. He was waiting his turn. I mean, if your God's going to light a fire, how long does it take him? Even rubbing sticks would take quicker than 3 hours. Come on. But Elijah started making fun of them. Now, I know that you realize that's rude. But come on. He says, why don't you yell louder? He's God. Maybe he's talking. Or maybe he's pursuing, or he's on a journey. And Paul's saying, you know, maybe he's napping, or maybe he's gone on vacation. That's what he's saying. That's what the language is. He's making fun of them. Why can't your God light a fire? Maybe you should yell louder. I mean, he could be busy. He could be out on vacation. Peradventure, he's sleeping. I mean, if it's nap time for your God, get him out around noon. Maybe you just got to yell louder. And they cried louder. The Bible says, and they started cutting themselves after their manners with knives and lancets. And the blood gushed out upon them. So it was kind of like a mosh pit, basically. Now, because you're jumping up and down, banging into each other and cutting each other. Now you know where that stuff comes from. And nothing is happening. They are literally cutting. And it's not little scratches. They're cutting themselves so the blood is literally pouring. Because, see, their God took pleasure in human sacrifices, blood that was shed for human. So they were cutting themselves, and this will get him, and yelling more and jumping around and cutting themselves and bleeding. Oh, Lord, they would have fit in the 90s. And it came to pass, when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. There was no voice, no answer. Nobody paid attention from the heavens. They cut themselves, they were bleeding, they were yelling, they were making fools of themselves. And now it's around 3 in the afternoon, and they've been going since at least 9 in the morning. 6 hours of complete foolishness. I hope the children of Israel are catching on. This is all for them. This is all for me and you, all this. And Elijah said to the people, you know, day's almost over. Let's get with it here. Come near me. All the people came near, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been broken. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. He made a trench around the altar, kind of like a moat around the castle, as great as would contain two measures of seed. It's a big ditch. He's got a moat going around this sacrifice now, around this altar. He put the wood in order, cut the bull up into pieces, laid it on the wood, and said, "Fill four barrels with water." Now, they were near the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, so they would have gone probably through that area for water, because remember, it's been a drought. There hasn't been a lot of water. Of course, the sea hadn't dried up yet. So they got four barrels of water, and they poured it. He said, "Pour it on the sacrifice. Take four barrels of water, the big barrels, and pour it on the sacrifice." That would get it soaking wet. Now, that would make it hard to burn, because the sacrifice is now wet, and the wood's going to get wet. I mean, I have a hard time burning dry wood here in the winter. And people are thinking, that's weird. And he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it a second time. Then he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time. And the water ran about the altar and filled the trench. The altar, everything now is soaking wet, because three times now they doused it with four barrels each time. So much so, the wood is soaking wet, the sacrifice is soaking wet, the altar is soaking wet, and the moat that's around the altar is now filled with water. Get the picture. And it came to pass, the time of the evening offering, which would be about 3 PM, Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word." Lord, now listen closely. Show them that everything I've done today is exactly what you told me to do. I have done all these things at your word. This is exactly what you asked me to do, or commanded me to do. Let them know I'm not doing this because I'm trying to be cool, or I'm trying to prove something. You said to do this. So, Lord, let them know that. "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it took up all the water out of the moat. It disappeared. When it says consumed, it doesn't mean burned it. It was gone. The sacrifice is gone. It's all gone. The wood is gone. The fire took it away. And the moat, which was filled with water, is dry now. What we have here is a miracle. That's hot fire. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." You have seen God do so much in your life. A reminder, how long will you limp between two opinions? Are you really ever going to come all the way, give your heart to the Lord, and stay there? In spite of all the threatening around you, in spite of all the turmoil, in spite of what it looks like, are you going to wait on Him when He says, "Wait for me"? Are you going to wait in spite of what you know how to do? And they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." And Elijah said to them, "Take the prophets of Baal. Don't let any one of the 450 get away." They took them. Elijah brought them down to the brook, down near the shore there, and he killed them there. They were put to death. See, because God says we have to get rid of all the false religion out of the land in there in Israel. And Elijah said unto Ahab, "You better get up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." You better get back up to the high country. We're down here near the water. He says, "You better get up. It's going to rain, and you're not going to be able to get across these brooks. They're going to be swelled too full with water." Now, it hasn't rained in 3.5 years. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Instead of eating, Ahab is going to get himself back to the city after he eats, because Elijah says, "It's going to rain. You better clear out. It's going to be a thunder boomer." He cast himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. While everybody else is having dinner, because it's later in the afternoon now, what does Elijah do? All by himself, everybody, what's Elijah do? You say, "Well, he's tired. He sat down and he's just kind of..." No, he's praying. He is in prayer. That's what's going on right here. He's in prayer. All by himself. No, whatever everybody else is doing, fine, he's in prayer. He gets down to the earth, puts his head between his knees, and he's crying out to God. And he says to his servant, someone's with him, go and look toward the sea, because they're up on Mount Carmel there. And he went up and he looked and he said, there's nothing. Elijah continues praying, so check it 7 times. And it came to pass, verse 44, on the 7th time he went back to check. He said, behold, there's right out there in the horizon a little cloud out of the sea about the size of a man's hand. That's a tiny little cloud way out there about the size of a man's hand. And he says, get moving. Get out of here. Go get Ahab. Prepare your chariot. Get down that the rain doesn't stop. It's going to rain so hard, you're not going to get through across some of these streams if you don't get out now. There's a tiny, tiny little cloud off on the horizon. You better head for the hills because it's going to rain. That's faith. Came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind and that there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran before that chariot, or got ahead of the chariot, and he ran to the entrance of Jezreel. He got up, and he ran, although Ahab is in a chariot headed for Jezreel up the hill, Elijah outran it and got there at the gate first. That's 16 miles. Oh, Lord. And he stops. We have to stop here, but I'll tell you what happens. He stops outside the city. He doesn't go in. You know why? Because he knows who's running the country. The king's not. He wants to see the response of the woman that's running the country. He waits outside, and when Ahab goes in, he wants to see what kind of yelling is going to go on. Is she going to submit? He knows she's not, but that's what he's waiting to see. The people have given their hearts back to the Lord. Now that means Ahab and Jezebel are in trouble. Or Elijah is. Somebody's in trouble. It takes faith to walk with God. Because things don't always go your way. People don't always see it your way. You can't always get them to see it your way. You can't always get them to think like you. There are times when you know what to do, but the wise thing is to wait. Wait on the Lord because He's doing something. Don't panic. But trust Him. Remember, the Word of God is clear. Stick with the Word of God. Even when you look out there and it looks to you like one thing, before you do anything about it, seek the Lord. And everybody else around you may have some advice on what you ought to do. Before, and advice is good, it's free. But before you take the advice or move on it, seek the Lord. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Just tell me what you want me to do. Show me what to do. Listen to Him and trust Him. Don't think the answer is obvious. Listen to Him and trust Him. God makes His Word really clear, as you've seen. And also, for those of you, as we worship now, some of you have been limping between two opinions. Yeah, I'm a Christian. But, you know, I do a lot of things the way of the world because it gets the job done. It just works. Well, wait a minute. You can't limp between the two. If God is God, then serve Him from this day for the rest of your life. If you want to serve the world, then you got to make a choice. But you can't limp between the two opinions, He says. Choose today. Joshua says that to his people. Choose you this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, he says, we'll serve the Lord. You've got to make a choice today. Every day, it's a choice that's made. If God is really God, then follow Him. If Baal, then follow Him. But don't limp between the two. And now we're going to have to leave Elijah there at the gate. We'll kind of see what happens next to him.